Nexus Church is all about cultivating an authentic Christian community where old and young alike journey with Jesus and are transformed by the gospel. May we be challenged and inspired by the power of His Word.
Have you ever heard the phrase reverberate around your house, no wonder? You know, whether sometimes that's an eye roll, like, oh, no wonder, or like it's an exclamation point, no wonder. When you put your phone on charge for 3 hours and you come back to it and it's still on 0% and you realize you never put the power plug, you go, oh, no wonder it's not charged. Or if you're in my house and my youngest daughter is really, really quiet, you go, oh, what are you up to? And then you go, no wonder you were quiet. You were tagging every piece of furniture with a Nikko pen. Or feeding my dog popcorn. No wonder that person's smiling. They just got asked out on a date. Or no wonder you're so tired, you stayed up so late not listening to me, daughters. All of these are not relevant to me whatsoever. But this word, no wonder. And tonight's message is, I want to talk about the wonder of no wonder. The wonder of no wonder. We're going to get to our key scripture very shortly, but Peter is preaching at the synagogue in Jerusalem after Pentecost. And to give you a bit of a quick background as to the significance of this moment is that Jesus was trialed, he was crucified. 3 days later, he was resurrected, then ascended to the Father. And he said his last instructions were, wait, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so these disciples are hungry for the presence of God. All they had was a command of wait. And then they're in this upper room and the place was filled with the presence of God and tongues like fire rested upon each one. And from there, they went out and ministered into the city. And Peter preached the very first sermon after Jesus' resurrection. And this is what he says. Peter stepped forward and shouted to the crowd. Just hold that in your back pocket for a moment in time. Peter stepped forward and shouted to the crowd. With a captivated audience in Jerusalem, Peter delivers the first sermon of the resurrection. He opens his mouth and says, speaks of the prophet Joel, and he says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And Peter says, this is that day. This is the day that has come, the promised Messiah has come, and this is the time when that prophecy is in your fulfillment, that he has poured out his spirit on all flesh. And praise God, to this day, that promise is still true for you and I, that God wants to pour out his spirit to reside in our hearts. That is incredibly good news. It's bewildering and it's so beautiful. And so Peter is stepping up, and all the crowds have come to him and to the disciples, and they're just like, what could this mean? What are they doing? Are they drunk? What is happening with all this commotion? And Peter speaks about the crucifixion, speaks about the promised Messiah, speaks about the power of the resurrection, speaks about his ascension and now God's purpose for humanity. And he says this in verse 24, and we've got it on the screen. If you could just somewhat take a visual snapshot or highlight this scripture into your Bibles tonight at some point, it will do you wonders through every circumstances in your life. It says, but God released Jesus from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Isn't that incredible? That God raised him from the grip, from the very thing that holds every single person. The one thing that holds us all could not hold Jesus. And he overcame it and conquered not just physical death, but in doing so, spiritual death. So in him, we are raised into newness of life, and that life is available for us in the spirit. So this temporal earthly body, this tent that we now currently reside in, it will fade away, but our souls will live forever because it has been released by the death or the grip of death. If you can just think about like grip, that vice grips, the things that can't let you go for a moment. And just if you've ever had a flat tire on the side of the road and those wheel nuts are just stuck on, and you just need to get a great big grip on that and you can't get anyway. If you just think of this story where you've got like, it just is immovable and you're caught by it. Well, that's what the author is here is saying, that that's what it had on everyone, but Jesus has defeated it. And then the word for death actually means thanatos, which for those Marvel fans out there, you'll have a reference there. It means thickest darkness. So the thickest darkness. So Jesus has defeated the thickest darkness. Violent separation of the soul and body. Jesus has defeated violent separation of the soul and body. And the idea of future misery arising from sin. Jesus has defeated misery arising from our sin. And so Peter is stepping forward and shouting this scripture. And then he references in verse 25, King David said this about him. In verse 25, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Peter is speaking to new believers, people who have come from different language, different tribe, different tongue, and they're hearing him. And he says, no wonder my heart is glad. That was his message, that we can rejoice in the wonder of our assurance that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has conquered death and the grave. And now we are welcomed into eternal life, fellowship with the Son, and eternal life forever and ever. Amen. That is why it's the good news. He quoted Psalm 16, and David wrote this in Psalm 16. Peter quoted it in the scripture that day. But everyone thought it was speaking about David, but David said it was talking about a forthcoming Messiah, because David's body would rot, but Jesus' body would come back to life and welcome us in. And from that day, when Peter stepped forward and shouted all the more, 3,000 people were saved, and was the birth of the church. It's an incredible story, incredible sermon. And so I want to speak on this whole concept of no wonder. No wonder. Assurance, security, confidence in our trust in the Lord. And then when in this assurance, we actually have this quest, this sensation, this hunger to know more of the mystery that Jesus has for us every single day. So to be captivated by the wonder of no wonder. Does that make sense to you? You know, I believe that it's this paradox. And there's, the Bible is full of paradoxes. I love what Paul writes in Ephesians. He says that you would know the insurpassable knowledge of the love of God, that you would know the unknowable, that you would dig into that which would never come to an end. I want you to know, but it's unknowable. Yeah. You can start to dig down and drill into it, but you'll never come to the end of it. And for us, you know, some of us, we go through life and it's just like, maybe just chapters in a book. We read through the chapters. Yep, Jesus crucified. Yep, Jesus was resurrected. Yep, Jesus was ascended to heaven. I believe in that. Yep, the Holy Spirit is alive and active. Yep, I believe in it. But are we wondrous? Are we looking up and going, thank you, Jesus, what opportunities does this mean? How does this impact my everyday walking with you, communing with you, in fellowship with the church, brothers and sisters, the power of God moving in and through everything that I do and say? Am I aware of the movements of God and the spiritual activity around me? Am I aware of the spiritual dimensions, the discernment, whether to pray into something, to lift up something? You know, the wonder of our assurance as Christians. One of my wife's favorite shows at the moment is called Portrait Artist of the Year. It's on ABC. Now, I know I'm at that age where I watch the ABC, yes. But it's this beautiful show where people come, mostly celebrities will come, and they're called sitters. So for 4 hours, they will sit in a chair, and artists from around Australia will come and they will portrait and draw or paint the person who's sitting for 4 hours. And there's 9 contestants in every episode, 3 artists per sitter. And so you walk this journey of like trying to, for them to come up with the most beautiful portrait. Now, some are expressionist, so it's a loose version of that person. Some are cartoonist, so it'll be, there was a guy who draws for The Simpsons, and so his caricature or his portrait was amazing and so different, but there are some who are realists. And it was just like this, it's this beautiful journey of them working out how they're going to capture the sitter. And so we're watching it, and it just goes, for me, it spoke to me where when Peter speaks about, no wonder my heart is glad, these words speak about a declaration and a security found in God's presence, and to live with God constantly in view. So to live with God constantly in view, like John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches, connect with me, have me in constant view. And as you're watching the show, this person who's sitting, all they do is sit there, but the artist is like sizing them up with their ratios, and they've always got this point of connection, this reference point to the face that they're trying to capture. And it's this beautiful imagery of being in wonder of God's presence. The beauty of seeking God's face. David the psalmist would write this in Psalm 27. He says, seek my face. And his heart responds immediately, your face, Lord, I will seek. Have my face as a reference point. And the beautiful thing is face represents presence. Have my presence as your reference point. Constantly look to see how your life is capturing the essence of God. Come back and see what your reference point is truly like. Come into that invitation where Christ is saying, seek my presence, seek my face, know my beauty. And for us then to go about trying to capture that and live that out. Now, Jesus had promised Peter that there would be a time that he would deny him. The rooster crows 3 times, we've heard it through the Easter stories. And so it is with bewilderment and transformational resurrection power that Peter steps forward and shouts in a loud voice in a public matter. Because it was by a fire, by a servant girl, a slave girl, who in that time was seen as no one who had any authority, no one who had any sway, no one who had any influence on society would be seen as the least. And Peter was bowing to this very weak voice in that society. And then by the power of the transformational resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit, he steps forward 50 days later and shouts with a loud voice, no wonder my heart is glad. I'm going after his presence. You're invited to, and 3,000 people stepped forward and got baptized. This is the beautiful power of the gospel. And you see this thematic trend where Peter goes from denying Christ privately to publicly. And you can see this growing tension taking place. And Peter remembers Jesus' words and then weeps bitterly. So when Peter says, "No wonder my heart is glad," this is resurrection joy alive and moving powerfully for Peter. He has confidence that Jesus has defeated death. The promises of God are trustworthy and true, and that Jesus is alive and reigning. And that's our story too tonight, is we share and partake of this story. No wonder our hearts are glad. And it's not just through convenient circumstances, it's through every season. This afternoon, I put on a bit of an afternoon tea, my wife and I, for a lady who just came out of prison this week. And she got saved and baptized in the church. And then, through unfortunate circumstances, she had a prison sentence. And I've got permission to share this story. But we had this, first time I saw her was on stage speaking like this morning. And I looked out, and my beautiful friend, who I'd missed for over 2 years, is sitting right there just smiling. And I just looked down, and I just felt like a piece of my heart was back. And that was just for me. I go up and give her a big hug after the service, and I said, "It's so nice to see you." And she says, "I'm so glad to be here." Tears of joy was just running down her face. She knew that she, like in prison, she was seeking the Lord. You know, where a sentence could have had the greater narrative and said, "This is who you are. By law, this is who you are, but not in God's book. Not in God's narrative." She is way more than that. And she started this church service with the chaplains on a Sunday morning. And it started with two people. By the time she finished, there was eight people. Now, I know that doesn't sound like much, but that's 400% growth. And she knew what it was like to praise God in the mountain, but she also knew what it was like to praise God in the valleys. Why? Because she had this revelation that Christ died, rose again, and gave her forgiveness of sins and has called us to more than simply just occupying space. And she knew, and she could say that, "No wonder my heart is glad." No wonder. There's a reason. I have a purpose. She now has to it took her an hour and a half this morning to get to church. And I said, "Is that going to stop you?" She's like, "No, nope. You can see me on Wednesday. I'll be there for Nexus Care. You can see me tomorrow. I'll be there for EFC. You can see me on Thursday. I'll be there to help start serving at Nexus Care again. I've got my life back. No wonder my heart is glad." And so where are we at? For me, I'm quick to criticize sometimes. I'm quick to complain. I'm quick to look at my discontent. I'm quick to compare with others. I need to come back to that point. No wonder my heart is glad. I've got Jesus. I've lost my reference point for the portrait of Jesus. I've started to go my own way, and I've let my own hand do the wandering, and it's come up with something that's completely different. I need to come back to the portrait, the caricature, the beauty, the gaze of the Lord, to seek His face and to be transformed in His presence. I need to come back to that. We need to constantly come back into the presence of God. And then it says, Jesus is speaking and He says, we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. To walk in the light as He is in the light. So therefore, our reference point, our portrait, needs to be like an exact representation of how Christ walked. Now, it's not perfection, it's progression. We're all pilgrims on this progressive journey of discipleship. But Jesus says, walk in the light as I am in the light. John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That word walk means peripateo, which means to make one's progress, to continue through obstacles. My wife just went on this 50-kilometer walk from Noosa to Mooloolaba, and it was quite challenging. She had to prepare for a while and get stuff that I never even heard of, like a backpack with a water bottle, and, you know, like, she was all kitted out. New shoes. I'm just like, man, it's for charity. Like, seriously, going to cost me a lot of money for you to do this, just for a walk. Anyway, so she was really serious about it, and on the day, she went with her team, and she got to this creek crossing, and her shoes got completely saturated about 5 kilometers into the 50-kilometer walk. And then she had to go up terrain. Then she had to go through different hillside tracks on soft sand all the way through. And it was pouring rain. It was that one day in 17 years, they say, that it's just been pouring all day. And for me, I was just like, that's why you don't sign up to these, babe. Live in comfort like me. And she's like, no, be disciplined like me. And I'm just like, okay. But this walk means to make one's progress, to continue to have the gaze of Christ in different circumstances, different environments. I was having coffee with one person the other day, and they said that life is not necessarily like a sprint. You know, you would have heard of, you know, life is like a sprint. Or life is not like a sprint, life is like a marathon. I don't know why I had that old preacher in me rise up. Hey, hey, hey. Ooh, hey. But I was having coffee with this guy, he goes, life is like a cross-country race. You know, it's undulating. There's trip hazards that just pop out of nowhere, but life, Christ is saying, hey, there's a walk in life that is going to be random at times. It's going to be unforgiving at times. You know, there's creek crossings. There's times when you'll feel by yourself. There's times when you might feel exhausted and you have to lean on others. But if you walk with me, as I am in the light, you don't have to live in darkness. You get to walk in light. Caleb, Naomi, it is great to see you. Welcome back from your European honeymoon. Nice to see you. I just saw you out there. So good. You know, he also says that my commands are not burdensome. Everyone say the word burdensome. Well done. Burdensome. You know, we often see that obeying is quite burdensome. Like all the times that Jesus says, forgive one another, serve one another, love one another, pray for one another. And sometimes it's like, well, there's a lot to do and I don't feel like I've got the emotional capacity to do that well. It's kind of burdensome. I heard a story the other day of a missionary, and he was writing the New Testament in the language of where he was a missionary to. It was a regional mission field, and they had their own dialect, and he was translating in time the New Testament, and he came across this word obedience, and he realized that in their language they didn't have a word for obedience. And so he was thinking, how am I ever going to capture the essence of what it is to obey Christ without the actual word? And so that one night they're sitting around a fire, and he called his dog, the community dog, he started to own it. And he called the dog over to him. And one of the villagers in their own language said, your dog has a listening heart. And in that moment, the missionary was able to capture the very essence of the word obedience. That obedience is not just duty. Obedience is not just compulsion. Obedience is not just obligation. Obedience is a listening heart, a listening ear that leans into the opportunities that God is presenting before you. And isn't that beautiful that when we say, Lord, I want to be obedient. Yeah, that's great. But Lord, teach me to have a listening heart for your commands. And that's why your commands are not burdensome, because it's not done out of compulsion. It's done out of relationship and belonging. It's done because you want to continue to walk this out, walking in light as he is in the light. And if the team, they want to come, you know, and I have a bit of a bit of a cool story where every time my dog is being disobedient, he doesn't really have a listening heart to any other member of the family. He only has a listening heart to me. He's a big German shepherd called Everest. And I've got this power over him. And if I'm not home, I just say to my wife, put him on speaker. And his command is click. So anytime he hears a click and Everest, he'll just go. But obedience is not just like that. It's not just like, come when you're called because you might get in trouble. My master needs me. I have to do it. No. We're not like dogs. We have a listening heart that's available to us. That's why Jesus, when he's talking about that he is the true, beautiful and good shepherd, in John chapter 10, he has this incredible invitation that says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Not out of fear of the Lord, yes. Not out of fear or compulsion, but they wanted to be propelled into the greater opportunities, the miracles, the blessings, the provisions, the wonders of Jesus and his beautiful ministry. They had a listening heart. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus is constantly speaking through his word, through fellow believers, through the Spirit. God is constantly speaking. And if we decide that we want to have a listening heart, we're putting ourselves in the environment where God can speak. And where he can speak, he can move. And where he can move, he can transform. And where he transforms, he sets free. And God is wanting to do that with each and every one of us, both individually and collectively, so we will be the church that rises up and we are set free, no longer condemned, no longer insecure, no longer trapped by the fears and the insecurities, the religion that keeps us bound, but we are free to move, to transform, to walk in the light as he is in the light. So, if anything, tonight is like a simple message. It's a simple invitation. Would we once again come back to the wonder of no wonder? When Peter got up after being transformed so radically by the power of God, and he denied Jesus 3 times, and he fell away and he walked away bitterly, but God redeemed him, reinstated him, and said, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, and you're going to be a mighty disciple. And it is with that statement and the boldness of the Spirit that Peter was able to step forward and shout and proclaim the good news. If anything tonight, I would love us to want to step forward further into the wonder of God. Step forward further into our assurance and confidence that we can trust God.
We hope this message encouraged or perhaps even challenged you in your Christian faith. Our pastors meet regularly with people to pray and support them, and we extend this invitation to you. Please let us know if we can contact you to offer support. Simply call the office or visit nexuschurch.com.au.